We didn't pick up the offering? You were in a different dimension too. Amen. I can tell. Amen. You and I both, Brother Jeremiah, we're fighting crime everywhere. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. You are dismissed. Amen. I like that one. He's like another offering. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The title of my message is this, The Destruction of Gossip. Earlier on today, this 9:15 service, I'm trying to preach sermons that will follow one another now. I'm in that phase, so I'm trying to help us. Amen. Earlier, we preached on not meddling in other people's affairs, and the title was probably kind of tough, but it's good. It's mind your own business. Amen. It'll save a lot of affliction. It'll save a lot of problems, amen, in relationships if we mind our own business, amen. If someone does not welcome you to their affairs, if someone does not welcome you to their situation, it's probably wise for us to mind our own business, amen. And I gave you 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where it talks about that situation. In the church of Thessalonica, Paul was writing a letter to people that were getting in each other's business, and they were being distracted from the main business. What should be the main business as a Christian? God. Our walk with God. How to grow in grace. And sometimes we meddle into other people and examine their situation, maybe scrutinize their situation, when in return we should be self-examining ourselves, right? And so this one is a big problem. It's like the root of meddling. Right? Meddling is the fruit. Gossip is the root. Okay? So what I want to do is nip it at the bud, right? Before it sprouts. So I want us to go in this direction. Words can either build a life or burn down a life. It could destroy a life. Words can. So Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the what? Here you go. Let's try this again. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the what? It's important we say this, because sometimes we can read it, but when it, I don't know what it is, audible or when we say it vocally, it like sinks in a little bit more. It's the maybe frequencies, I don't know what it is. But death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the what? The result, the fruit thereof. I want us to see that there's a few things that destroys friendships more than the tongue. I mean, a few things. Most of the time, it's our tongue that destroys friendships. Sometimes the tongue can destroy churches. I've seen it. It'll either be with a family in the church that's disgruntled, and they might have a good reason to be disgruntled against the leadership team, but how do they destroy that church? How do they create division in the church? How does it happen? Well, they get their little cliques, or maybe they will bring it up to someone else. Maybe they don't want to be the originator, or known as it originated from them. So what they'll do, they'll go to the person that has no restraint whatsoever, amen, does not refrain from telling everybody else the gossip. So they'll go to that individual. And what ends up happening is the wrong person is the culpable factor, right? They get accused of it, but they were not the originator. It was someone else. And that other person acts like, oh, what? What happened, really? And they're the ones that started the gossip. But that's how it spreads. That's how it spreads. This destroys churches. It destroys relationships. It destroys marriages. Gossip destroys reputations. And I want us to understand that a gun might wound our body. Amen? Yes. But I'm going to tell you what hurts even worse. Gossip wounds the soul. Think about what I just said. Yeah. You'll hurt, and there's pain and suffering from a gun wound shot, or even, you know, something, a laceration or whatnot. But I'm looking at it even with my son. You know, he had that, 2-inch laceration across his head. We asked him, His mom and I, hey, does it hurt? I touch it. I'm just like, man, that's weird. Amen. No, I touch it just to see if, you know, if he's okay. It's fine. It's healed over. I bet you, for me, I think the scar and the trauma of it is really what scarred him more than that scar itself. Because when we touch it, we play, he goes swimming now, he plays baseball again. He doesn't think about that pain and on that day. But you know what he does think about? He's a little hesitant. You know, if somebody's swinging the bat too close to him. The trauma of the blood, seeing it in his dad's hand as he's holding him, you know. Seeing his mom's, you know, worrisome face. Seeing the doctor, especially those needles going to his forehead. He remembers all that. Here's the thing, though. That's what gossip does. Physically, we can be hurting. We can be in pain. But you know what's going to last? That wound, that wound in the soul, that inner hurt that no one can see. And I want us to understand that gossip can burn down trust that you probably built for years. Gossip is what really wounds the soul. And I'm going to tell you something. It sometimes comes in the way of a tragedy. What do you mean? Oh, do you know what happened? Let me tell you about this. Sometimes it comes across, gossip comes across in the way of spirituality. I mean, not tragedy. Brother, I need to tell you something. Can you please pray for? And we fill in the gossip. Amen. We need to be careful with this because gossip destroys if we're not careful. We can try to cloak it spiritually. We can try to cloak it like we care. It's a prayer request, or maybe sometimes it's casual, harmful words. Did you know this? Daniel, come on up here. I'm going to use you as an illustration. Don't worry, buddy. I'm just trying to build you up. Amen. No, but it's like almost like we come to church and it's like, hey, Brother Daniel, where's the pastor? Brother, I need to tell you something. Come over here. Just come over here. Oh, they're too close. Over here. Can I tell you about, you remember, you know, Miss Rebecca used to come to church? You remember her? Just act like you do, nod your head. Yeah? Yeah, you remember her, okay. Can I tell you what happened? Oh, Brother Heath's looking. Oh, just laugh. Just laugh. Okay, he's not looking anymore. Can I tell you that she no longer comes to church? Go down. Pray for her. Pray for her. Yeah. Sit down. That's how it comes across. Amen. We know what we're talking about here? Gossip. No? Yes? No? Okay. Well, I'm going to preach about it. Amen. Because the Bible is talking about that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know where meddling starts? You know where we start getting involved in other people's business? It's when we start talking about it. Amen. It's when we start gossiping about it. Amen. Amen. Here's the thing, folks. I want us to understand that God repeatedly warns his people. He gives us scripture about the dangers of careless and harmful words. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whether you produce life in that child of yours, parent, you'll get to enjoy that life. See it grow up. Or whether you produce death in that child, parent, you'll get to enjoy it, and you'll reap what you sow, death in that child's life. But not that, not just only that, in marriages, in relationships, amen, in church families. I want us to understand that God talks about that. And today, I want to examine the destructive power of the tongue, of gossip. Learn how God wants us to use our tongues. What are we supposed to be here for? What is God's will for our life? To bring honor and what? Glory to his name. And listen, I do understand we have to give information. I understand that. And I do understand, you know, we have mutual friends and associates that we know and we talk about. Man, listen, man, here's the first point. Gossip spreads like fire or like a fire. I'm going to tell you something, man, and please, if you get offended, listen, it's okay. Just get over it, okay? Amen. But sometimes it's so wrong. The label of gossips, to what gender is it attached to most of the time? Thank you, ladies. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Ladies, right? It really is. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a lady. I'm not a woman. Amen. You can ask my wife. Amen. I'm not. Amen. I'm a man. But man, do I love me a gossip session. Why are you laughing, Brother Benjamin? We did it just like a few minutes ago. Amen. We gossiped about somebody. Amen. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Brother God. Brother Benjamin, I'm kidding. But here's the thing. Man, I love me a good gossip session. I really do. You say, why, Pastor? I don't know what it is to throw, hermana Maria, getting information. I don't know what it is. It's like power or something. It's like it's data or data that I can use. Amen. And then I can analyze the situation. All right, I can use it. But here's the thing. It's not about gender necessarily. What I'm talking about is we need to be careful with using words that might seem harmless to us that could be harmful to other people. We need to be careful with that. And so gossip, I want you to understand, first point is spreads like fire. Amen. I appreciate the colors on the the main point. Amen. It looks like fire. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 28. An ungodly man, a what? Ungodly. What is that? That is a person that is not living for God. That is a person that does not fear God. That is a person that does not respect the teachings of God. That is a person that is not living a life that's separated for God. An ungodly man. Diggeth up what? Digging. It takes work. What does that mean? Well, here, metaphorically speaking, right? We're probing. We're digging for information. Okay? An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a what? A burning fire. It's destroying everything in its path when they say it. You get it now? They're trying to get information so they can what? Spread it. And they don't realize it's going to hurt someone. And they don't realize it's going to break a trust with somebody. And they don't realize that relationship that used to be tight, that used to be good, is no longer tight and good. Because their lips are like what? A burning fire. Look what it says. And a froward man. Does it say a lady here? So this is how you know gossip's not just only for ladies, man. Amen. Listen, I'm a man. It's okay. We can say man. We can be secure. Amen. I'll embrace it. I like a good gossip session. Amen. Now listen. Doesn't mean it's right. Okay. Amen. But it's talking to men. Right? It also could talk to a lady too, but it's talking about men. A froward man soweth what? Someone who has no scruples. Someone that doesn't use principles of the Bible. You can tell that they say one thing, but they live differently, right? A froward man, someone that has is very brazen, has no respect, no restraint. This froward man soweth what? They're just about themselves, basically, right? And if it hurts you, I don't care. That's rough, man. What do you mean? My wife can say if I'm like this, I'm not. I hope I'm not like this because she's been married with me 20 years. I don't think she's in a... Are you in an abusive relationship? Hold your... No, I'm kidding. No, she's not. Amen. She could be herself. I embrace her. She's a strong woman for some reason. Sometimes men are intimidated by her. I love it. I love it when I see a man shake. I don't know why. I'm like, okay, cool with me. Amen. But I'm secured of my relationship with her. So for me, it's like, yeah, go at it, girl. Go for it. I don't know what they're doing or if they have sin in their life. I don't know why they're scared. Amen. If she's the type of lady that doesn't take it. And guess what? I'm okay with that. And guess what? I'm going to support that. That's why she has me there for protection, right? For provision. If somebody wants to man up, then that's my part, right? That's where I got to step in. I'm like, okay, well, got to get H-Town now. But here's the thing. It would be... The best way I can say it is this. It would be difficult for me to treat my wife in a disrespectful way. If I was a man that did not cherish my wife, I would not show chivalry. I would not be very open to apologizing if I did wrong. Because I'm forward. I'm selfish. I'm all about me. Now, I'm not saying I'm never selfish. When I'm selfish, I'm okay with saying this. I'm sorry, I messed up, babe. I should have said that. Will you forgive me? Sorry, I love wine. But anyways, okay. Sorry, no flirting. But let me get focused. Here's the thing. If I'm a forward man, I wouldn't care about her emotions. I wouldn't care about her feelings. I wouldn't care about her opinion. Because it's my way. Okay, guess what a forward man does? He's planting. He's sowing what? Destruction, anger, wrath. And a whisperer separateth what? Imagine me not caring about my wife because I'm a froward individual who has no scruples. And then I'm over there going to Daniel, who has no business knowing anything information about my wife, and I'm going, can I tell you this? My wife doesn't cook. She orders DiGiorno's pizza every weekend. Now, if y'all order DiGiorno's pizza, okay, I'm sorry, okay? I just like DiGiorno's pizza, okay? It's not what we do. She actually cooks, okay? But I like DiGiorno's pizza. I'm like, babe, okay? Because it has that cheese in it, right? But, sorry, I'm gossiping. But here's the thing. Can you imagine? I didn't care about my wife. I'm using a husband-wife relationship, but this can apply to anything. Who is it going to separate? Is it going to bring us closer? I'm making her look what? Because I like a little bit of, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I don't know why I would be whispering to another guy, but you know, I like a little gossip session, right? Can you see it or not? Now you say, Pastor, he doesn't talk about that, but my friends, that's what the Bible is. It's truth. Now you don't have to look at it that way, but I'm just trying to explain to us, it's talking to us men, where we should be an example, right? We should be godly men, right? Our job is not to go digging and probing and asking questions to get information from other people, right? Here's the thing. Especially so we can spread it. And it can damage our relationships. Now, I'm using our relationship as a man because I'm a husband in a marital situation. But let's say if I'm a man with my friends, men friends, or as a pastor and I'm a friend with our congregation. You can apply this any situation. You follow me? This still applies. Froward man. What does he do? Sow strife. Man, we bring unnecessary affliction to our life for no reason sometimes. And I want us to understand that Proverbs is talking about this. James chapter 3 says, even so, the what? Tongue is a little what? Member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter. What a little fire kindleth. There he goes again. Just a little bit. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Wait, did we read? Oh, was there a verse 6? And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of what? Man. I want to bring condemnation, if I want to bring a hardship, if I want to bring hell into someone's life, guess what? I shouldn't control what I say. Because I'm going to tell you, words can either build a life or it can burn one down. Proverbs chapter 26, if you're still with me, say amen. Where no wood is, there the fire what? Goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, just another word for gossip, back in those days in the 1600s or whatnot, they didn't have the word gossip yet. But guess what? Praise the Lord, modern day age, God gave us another word. It's called gossip. It's a tell bearer, okay? Someone that tells, someone that is carrying these tells, someone that is ready to give out that information and let you know what's going on, okay? A tell bearer. Where there is no what? Someone ready to tell you, right? Someone to give you a story, right? That's what this is. Someone who's not ready to give you a story, where there's no person like that, a gossip story, a gossip session. What happens? Come on now. What happens? Thank you. Let me ask you something. Why should there be strife here at Victory Baptist Church if we don't have tailbearers? Just saying. Right? You say, Pastor, is there a problem? No, but it's just, again, sermons of preventive maintenance. Amen? Now you know how it looks like. Well, I can't judge people by... I know, praise the Lord, I don't have to judge anybody. Only God can judge us, right? But I can tell you what God put in His word. And I know if it quacks like a duck and it acts like a duck, it must be a gossip. Amen? It must be a duck. Follow me? And then that old adage, right? It's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. But, you know, birds of a feather. Right? And there's that little group right there, that little gang, that little clique. Are you following me? Man, listen, the Bible shows us this. That's that spiritual insight. Now, if you want to be oblivious to it, or if you want to be in denial, it's okay. If you want to say, well, I grew up, Pastor, you don't understand, I grew up in Texas. I don't know what that has to do, your location has to do with that, amen? Pastor, I grew up without a father. I don't know what it has to do, a lack of a parent has to do with that, amen? We have the Word of God. We have to be big boys and big girls and realize, hey, listen, I'm accountable for my what? And my... I'm accountable for it. I can't blame my daddy, who I never met, Colin, right? I can't blame him. The guy was never part of my life. But you know who I can blame? I can blame myself if I didn't become better. And I'm not saying I'm better. I'm trying to explain to you the destruction of gossip is real. Many friendships have been destroyed because of gossip. Sometimes a relationship did not have to break. But you know what broke it? Gossip. Where there is no, the strife ceases. Sometimes we bring that upon ourselves. Sir, ma'am, it's nobody's business to get in other people's business. Amen. Like I preached this morning, mind your own business. Amen. Be worried about walking with God. It doesn't mean I can't, you know, if somebody comes to me and say, Pastor, I need to let you know something. Okay. You're letting me know. It's different if I go and get into your business. That's different. If you didn't ask me to get into your business, I have no business in your business. Right? I can't go to Miss Deborah and just go over there and say, Miss Deborah, I'm going to tell you your house needs painting. You need to power wash this thing. And poor Miss Deborah, I mean, I appreciate her, a widow of our church. I need a power wash. I told you I was going to power wash. Why? I'm just remembering right now. Miss Shantae, please. I just remember right now. I told her I was going to power wash your house. This was like a year. How long ago was it? Huh? What'd you say? She said a date. I don't know. What'd she say? How long ago? You said 3 years? I don't know. I told you that, though. Just right now, I'm remembering. God probably wanted this sermon so I could remember power wash your house. I'll be there. Okay, I'll be there. I'm not going to give you a date right now, but I need to be there. Okay. Man, I can't believe me. And not one time did she complain. I was just thinking, boy, Miss Deborah doesn't have a choice sometimes, right? She's a widow of our church. Her husband, right, is in heaven now, right? We should be taking care of Miss Deborah in the sense of if somebody's trying to get into her business, we need to say, roll out. Right? We need to be the type of people that need to be there for her. Because there are some people sometimes, and Miss Deborah, I'm not saying that you let everybody in your business, but I think there are some people that look for situations to try to get into people's business, right? Like the ungodly people, the ungodly man. Follow me? Why? I don't know. It's a thrill of getting the information first for some reason or knowing people's business. I don't know. It's sinful. What I do know is this. Sometimes people end up getting hurt like a Miss Deborah. Because she sometimes thinks, well, this is my church family and they're supposed to help me, but instead they're just knowing everything about my personal life and not one person reached out to help me. Again, I'm not saying that's your situation, okay? But I saw you and I'm like a widow of our church. And now I know why God told me to look at you. I need to power wash your house. I'm sorry. Amen. Man, I got convicted. See, this is why I don't like preaching. Amen. I get convicted, amen, even while I'm preaching. Man, I'm sorry, Ms. Deborah. I know I told you this a while ago. I want you to know this, okay? A wildfire, all it takes is a tiny spark, right, before it takes off. It's the same way gossip. That's how gossip starts out. That's how rumors start, with just, hey, did you hear? Hey, didn't you hear this? You didn't hear this from me, but let me tell you something, because I know you need to be informed. Or, I'm just telling you this, Brother Daniel, so you can pray. That's how this starts, just by a little spark. Just a little spark. And my friends, I want us to understand that if there is no gossip, guess what's going to happen? The affliction, the strife, is going to not exist. Okay? Before we repeat any information, I want us to ask this. Is it mine to tell? Is it mine to tell? Now, my wife is mine, and I love my wife. Amen? And all the intellectual properties and physical properties, praise the Lord. I love that. Amen? But I know she's a child of God, too, and she has her own life. She chose me as I chose her. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Colin, I mean, I know everything about my wife, but there's some things about my wife she doesn't want me to repeat to her mom. There are some things about my wife that she doesn't want me to repeat to my mom. Like, I don't know why. But you know what? I respect that. Because it's not mine to tell. Yeah, but that's your wife. Blah, 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 blah. I know, but it's not mine to tell. I respect her as a person. I'm not a froward man in that sense. You follow me? I have this respect for her. I'm not just going to do whatever I want to do because I'm selfish. I have to think about this. And Miss Deborah, this is eating me up. I have to power wash your house. I'm so sorry. Man, that's eating me up. Here's the second point. Let me jump into it because I'm going to keep looking at Miss Deborah. Man, gossip reveals problems in the heart. Okay? The first thing is gossip spreads like a fire, but also gossip reveals problems in the heart. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his what? Bringeth forth that which is what? Good. Listen, I know we have a lot of good people here. And I know sometimes, man, we didn't have any ill intention, right? We had good intentions. Sometimes we want to help people. And this is why we're gossips too. Amen? But here's the thing. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? Evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his what? At the end of the day, I've seen it too, where people are just out there to destroy others. I've seen it. Man, I don't know what it is. They're jealous, they're envious. I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm going to tell you something. I think I'm almost gone a little bit insane, Brother Chuck, trying to figure out these people. Why is it that they wish harm or evil upon others? And I still can't make sense of it, Miss Claudia. I can't. I can't. And honestly, I felt like I was going to go a little crazy. And my wife's like, so what? Why do you have to understand them? And I'm like, yeah, that's true. It was just something simple as that. My father-in-law told me, hey, is it going to change you serving God or loving God or loving your family? I'm like, no. He's like, so why are you worried about it? Why are you letting them live free on your mind? I'm like, oh. Yeah, they need to pay rent. Amen. No. No, but I see what they were telling me. Some of these things don't make sense. And it's because some people are evil, right? But here's the thing, too. I know there's some people that with good intentions, sometimes you might think you're helping somebody, but in return, what ends up happening is you end up hurting that relationship because you're spreading things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yes, you could be evil or you can mean well. But here's the thing. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers. What is that? Snakes. Amen. How can ye, being evil, right? He's talking to Pharisees here. Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again, he's trying to let us know where these desires, where these intentions are coming from, right? Continue. Next verse. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a what? A watch. Pay attention. Oh, Lord. Set a watch, right? A guard. Oh, Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Plain and simple. God, please help me. Be vigilant in my life. Please put a watch that I be careful, that I guard my what? Guard what I say. I do have good intentions, but sometimes those are good intentions. Because sometimes in my heart, I might not even know what I have. It's deceitful, right? In my heart, I might wish good unto somebody, but maybe they did make me mad and I say something that I shouldn't have said about them. And I'm probably giving out information that that they don't want me to give out. That it's no one else's business. So God, please guard my what? My lips, my mouth, what I say, my words. I will say this, husbands, if you're married, you know, sometimes it's good. My son Zeke, amen, praise the Lord. He's trying to learn Spanish. Miss Kristen, Colin, he's trying to learn Spanish. But he doesn't learn the good words. And I'm saying he learns the bad words either. He doesn't learn the bad words. He just learns the words that are convenient for him. And he knows his dad is like a hot sauce bottle. I'm hot. And I get spicy sometimes, amen? Not physically. I'm talking about, you know, I get short-tempered, hot. And so then my son, he comes with this word, doesn't help the situation. You know, so ladies, I understand, amen? I understand when it comes to relationships not to say this word. He says, kamate. I'm like, what? At first, I didn't know what he was saying because, you know, he's saying in his version of Spanish, amen? Dad, kamate. Kamate. I'm like, kamate. He's trying to tell me, calm down. In Spanish, it's calmate. But he's saying, kamate. I'm not going to kamate anything, son. Amen? That's just like going to... So, ladies, when it comes to relationships, this is where I was going with that. It doesn't feel good when somebody says, hey, calm down, right? Right or no? Yeah, does it feel good? No? Amen? Especially if you're in the heat of the moment, right? It's like... Can you imagine, you know, me telling my wife, hey, kamate. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out. Amen? Is it going to work out, babe? No? Amen. Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. All I know is this. Sometimes it's probably just wise to guard our mouth. If I know and I see, my son obviously doesn't have that. I mean, pray for him. Amen. We're trying to give him discernment. God, give him discernment. He doesn't see that kamate, and then he'll rub my head. I'm like, boy. So I give him a Charlie horse on the thigh. He's like, that kamate. I love him. But he needs to respect me too, amen? He sometimes gets a little overboard, Brother Heath, amen? But here's the thing. Let me get back. If I know it's not wise for me to tell my wife kamate or calm down, wouldn't it be wise for me just to guard the door of my lips, my mouth? Would it be wise for me to pray and say, God, I don't want to say something dumb. It's not even dumb. I don't care looking if I look dumb or embarrass myself. I really don't. I don't concern myself with that. What I do concern is saying something that unintentionally hurts someone. I don't want to do that. And that's what I'm trying to talk about. Gossip can destroy. Now, my son's not gossiping. He's not destroying me. It's just one of those things that we... But if y'all want to preach to him and tell him, stop telling your dad kamate, I don't mind. Amen. I don't mind. Amen. Feel free. Actually, I give you permission. Amen. But gossip is just not merely a tongue problem, my friends. It's a heart problem. The Bible kept saying, out of the abundance of the what? Of the heart. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart. So I want us to understand that Jesus, when he was talking about these vipers, when he was telling the Pharisees, right? He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All he's saying is, look, you're already revealing what's already inside. And sometimes it's deceitful. Sometimes you might have hurt. You might have pain inside. And that's how you're speaking those words. You're using the vehicle of your mouth to say those words. And to you, it might be like, that might be a good idea if I just tell my wife, calm down, babe. Calm down. No, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Amen. And all the men said, hey, all right, praise the Lord. We have godly men. Amen. Experienced men. But for me, in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't mean anything wrong by it. Read the room. Right? It's that discernment part that my son doesn't have when he says, kamate, and then rubs my head. It's that. Sorry. Amen. The thing about it, when we say these words, it reveals already what's inside of us. And so, like, you might not know. You might have criticism inside. You follow me? Criticism of something that happened 5 years ago, but you're still holding on to it. And you might not know it's in your heart. You might have some bitterness Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're only going to say what's already inside our heart. Well, I'm not trying to bring out bitterness and pour it on my wife. I'm not trying to bring out criticism and pour it on our congregation. You follow me? So it's very, very important that we understand this. Eventually, what comes out goes through our heart. I'm sorry. What comes out starts in our heart and comes out through our mouth. So if I have resentment towards somebody, it might be that time that when I don't mean anything ill, I don't mean any malice, but it might come across that way because, again, one time I probably felt that way. We should pray, set a watch. Please, God. Oh, Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Help me guard my words. Help me be careful, God, because I'm going to tell y'all something. I carry baggage from years. I don't want to pour that out on my wife. I don't want to pour that out on you, on my friends, my relationship. So please, many people, we need to try to fix our speech, but we can't ignore our heart, is what I'm trying to tell you. Our heart has inner hurt. That's why I'm saying out of the abundance of the heart, it's very important we understand this. Some of us haven't fixed our heart. Some of us, our heart needs to be repaired. You follow me? God works the opposite way. What do you mean, Pastor? When he cleans the heart, he understands that our speech will change. Some of us haven't had that. I want you to ask yourself, do I enjoy hearing bad news from other people? And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a good indicator on whether or not you should probably share bad news with other people. Because if you don't like it, what do you think? The other person's going to like it? Yes or no? Probably not. You see how that works? God works the opposite way. I want us to understand that, am I secretly jealous of this person? Do I find satisfaction in exposing someone else's fault? It starts showing who you are. And you don't realize it, and that's probably what's hindering some of your relationships, some of my relationships. Because I didn't mean anything wrong by it, but out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. The mouth speaks. So, please, don't tell me you love people while you're tearing them down every chance you get. Right? And Ms. Deborah, I want you to know and understand, as your pastor, not only will I power wash your house, amen? Eventually, I need to get it done. My wife is going to remind me, I promise you. And it'll probably get done soon. And sorry about that. I probably will make iced tea for you. But if you want to make me iced tea like last time, it's okay. But here's the thing. I don't ever want you to feel that you don't have anybody. You follow me? I don't ever want you to feel like this is not your home church or that we're not going to stand up for you. And again, I know you have people that love you. I know you have family and I know you have friends. But I just want you to know as in your church, we're here for you. And don't ever feel like you have to be intimidated by anybody. Because this is your family. This is your church family. I get it. You have family and friends outside of this. But I just want you to know this should be a place for you to feel secure, to feel safe. And if anybody ever intimidates you, don't worry. I'll sick Brother Benjamin on them. Okay? No. We'll take care of you. Amen? Amen. We have some people here that... Amen. I'm not going to talk anymore. Amen? But here's a third point and I'll be done. Gossip opposes the work of God. It really does. It brings opposition to the work of God in your life and in my life and in the life of others. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. So that's what should proceed out of our mouths, right? That which is good for what? To the use of what? Edifying. That means if anything good comes out, it should be to build others. If my son, who's Ezra, was traumatized by something there with a baseball, and I know he loves playing baseball, and I ask him, hey, do you want to play or do you want to quit? I'm going to play. Why? I want to play with my friends. Okay. I like the game. Okay. My job is not to say, come on, why didn't you hit that ball? Come on, why didn't you catch? My job is to what? Build his confidence to catch. It's not about the catching the ball. It's about that memory I'm cherishing, that moment. Man, I had the opportunity to piece back a little man who went through something traumatic and build him up emotionally, build him up mentally, give him some fortitude, and help him understand you can face all odds as long as you keep God first and you have a good family right there. Guess what? You can do anything, buddy. My friends, baseball's not serious, okay? Okay, don't get mad, okay? But it's not serious to me like that. It's a game. You know what's serious to me? The well-being of my son. That's what we're trying to do, the good. It's to edify, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that he might have hope. Now, let's apply it, right? We can apply it to baseball, but we can apply it to doing the things of the Lord. You know, many of you, when I asked you if you can help teach, y'all were afraid or maybe you were a little hesitant. But look at you now. Your students are like, when is my teacher going to be here? Or, hey, man, I learned this and this from my teacher. Listen, if I would have been the type of person that was a pastor that's a little spiritual Hitler, say, why are you not doing this? Why can't you do this? My friends, I'm not building you up. I don't micromanage you. First of all, I don't like being micromanaged, okay? But I don't micromanage you for this reason. I want you to grow. And if I can help you grow as a teacher, if I can help you grow as a spiritual leader, if I can help you grow in your walk with God, guess how I'm going to do it? By building you up. By saying, I got you. And then, you know who's going to feel bad for not doing something if you mess up? You are. Because you're like, man, pastor's giving me the opportunity, and he's not really micromanaging me, but I'm not going to fail. That's the whole goal. You're taking accountability of your responsibility, right? You're taking this office and you're enlarging it. And you're allowing God to help you now and work and grow because you know that, hey, that pastor, he's not going to be micromanaging me and picking out my faults every time I do something. No, I'm not. If I have, I'm so sorry. If I have, I try not to. If you tell me, hey, pastor, I need help, I need you to fix this, guess what? I'm going to go in there and fix it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I do. I fix things. Ms. Deborah, can you let them know? Amen. I fix things, right? The shelves in your classroom, we fixed it, right, Ms. Claudia? We took care of that. Amen. But nobody was in trouble. Nobody's going to get upset. I'm not going to get upset. My job is not to intimidate anybody. By the way, I can't. Okay, I can barely move. Look, you're a robot. Amen? I have limited mobility because of the surgeries I've had. I can't intimidate anybody, but I'm here to help you. That's the whole point. Spiritually, that's the point. Let no corrupt communication. It doesn't mean cursing or swearing. It means sometimes your words can destroy people. And can I tell you what's a big, 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 big thing that destroys people? Gossip. I'm already finishing here, but let's make it a goal this week to encourage someone daily. Some of you have friends that don't come to church. Some of you have associations that don't come to church. Some of you hang out with people that don't come to church. Listen, take this time to build them up instead of trying to get in their business. Yeah? No? Yeah. See, if you and I can encourage someone daily, we're going to realize, man, we have to refuse to gossip about them. Because that's how you truly help somebody. When somebody tells you their business, and you don't go out and tell everybody else about their business, believe it or not, you're refusing to gossip. You're actually edifying. Churches are not destroyed overnight, my friends. Families are not destroyed overnight. Reputations are not destroyed overnight. It happens one conversation at a time. One rumor at a time. One careless word at a time. And here is the nugget of truth. God's grace is what helps us build and helps us encourage one word at a time. But you have to believe that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Bow our head, close our eyes. Yes. Let's pray. I want you to understand gossip is destructive, okay? Because, like the Bible says, it spreads like fire. It's like a fire. I want you to understand, don't get caught up in the gossip spreads like fire. This is what I want us to get caught up in. It's an indicator of our hearts. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaketh. So, if it reveals the problems in our heart, I want you to understand what gossip is doing. It's opposing. It's in opposition to the work of God. That's what it reveals. Okay? If you say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to change my gossip, I'll just have a bad habit, then my friends, you're opposing the work of God in your life. You're opposing the work that God can do in the life of your family and your children, of your Sunday school class, of your church members. Don't oppose that in your community. Don't oppose that. As the piano plays, the question is not, have I been gossiping? Because like I tell you, I have a problem with that too. The question is, are my words helping God build the lives of people? Or am I helping Satan tear people down? My friends, I don't want to see Satan tear our church down. I don't want to see Satan tear down our marriages. I don't want to see Satan tear down the lives of our families and friends. I want to see God build their lives. Think about it. Are my words helping God build people up? Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight, in thy sight, O Lord. We have many families going through hard times, many people struggling. I know I'm divulging someone's information here, but we have someone that lost their daughter a few weeks ago. You understand how that person might be feeling right now? But instead of praying for those who have lost loved ones, we're more concerned with the information so we can spread it. My friends, how about we pray for that individual? You say, Pastor, well, I don't know who it is. And I'm not going to tell you. How about you pray in general, God, be with those that have lost loved ones. Some of us have experienced that. We know how that feels. If there's anyone that can help them, it's you. You don't need to know them. You can pray to God. That's how you can help them, by the grace of God. God, can you please pray for that family of that person that passed away? Comfort them. Give them the strength. God, draw them closer to you. Draw them near to you, God. Give them a good church to go to. God, help them have a pastor that will be there for them in that path, in their loss. That's how this is supposed to work, my friends. Ask God to put a guard over your lips. That's what I've asked, and I'll continue asking. Ask God to put a filter in our speech. That's what we should do. I want Victory Baptist Church to be known not for spreading rumors, but for spreading grace, for spreading encouragement, for spreading truth. Our church can't control its tongue. And I promise you, if we do that, we will be a church that God can use in White House. Let's do that, folks. Let's ask God to help us control our tongue. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the nuggets of truth that you've given us today. Heavenly Father, at the end of the day, I don't want to be known as a pastor that just spreads rumors. At the end of the day, I don't want to be a husband that just talks negative about his wife. I don't want to be a father who talks negative or spreads bad information about his children. At the end of the day, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor that talks negative about his community and the congregation of God. If anything, I just want to be a Christian named Ezekiel Rivera that spreads hope, spreads encouragement, and spreads your truth, the gospel. That's all I want to be known for, Lord. I pray that our church would have the same desire as we move forward. I pray that this week we would find an individual we can encourage, not for show, not for recognition, just for edifying of the believer. And if they're not a believer, then the edifying for the children of God, Lord, help populate heaven. I just pray you use us, continue to use us the way you are, Lord. Thank you for the group of people we have. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness, not just to to each other and to the church, but Lord, thank you for their faithfulness to you, towards you. Thank you, Lord, for their love towards you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've taught them. Many here, Lord, have so much knowledge, Lord. These are giants of the faith also that we walk amongst. And Lord, I have the privilege and the honor of working together to try to reach a community for you. I pray you would help us understand the goal here, and it's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, once again. Thank you for our country. Thank you for our great state. Thank you for Victory Baptist Church. And thank you for the families here, Lord. I pray you continue to bless us. Help us find favor in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. And you're dismissed. Amen.